Is this thing on?
I think so.
Cool.
Wait.
Don't change the channel.
Let's go.
Hey. Okay.
Gotta release that dance remix. Welcome back to Don't Change the Channel. I'm your host, Sharif T. Bakari.
And I'm your co-host, Marielle Winand. And we are here with our lovely guest, Liesl Takeuchi.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome.
Happy Grammy Sunday to all of my fellow closeted Billie Eilish stans.
Yes.
Wait, why you gotta be in the closet?
Yeah.
Though?
I'm kidding. I love her.
Yeah, she's dope.
And this is me coming out. I love Billie Eilish. I will be attending her show this week.
Her Vogue interviews are my holiday. No, I just said it. December, every December.
She's the shit. No one can deny it.
Yeah, she's awesome. Undeniable. Well, welcome, Liesl.
Thank you.
We're so happy to have you on here. For those listening at home or in your car or wherever, Liesl is a dear, dear friend of mine. We worked together on season 2 of Hunters on Amazon Prime.
Yes, that was quite the... endeavor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. a challenge of endurance, you could say. And then Liesl and I went to Europe together in the fall of 2021.
Nice.
Yeah, we were actually sitting on stage one late Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
We were almost wrapping up the show and we were like, we need to do something very fun and not in Culver City when this ends.
Yeah, we just were like, wow, it was a long stretch. Job went from like May. Well, these ones are from like April to...
Wow, was that a year ago?
Yeah, it was.
No way.
Yeah.
Ooh, that weirds me out.
I know. Till October. And so we were like, we gotta get out. But today we're going to chat about a lot of things, including maybe some stories from that trip and some... little fun music games down the road. But first off, like, how you doing? How's it going?
I'm doing well. Yeah, things are pretty good right now. I'm having a lot of fun, which is my ultimate goal every day of my life.
As it should be.
The balance is key. Working a lot. And I've been kind of party girl mode right now, which is weird. I feel like I go through phases, like, I'll have a month where I'm just at home, and then I'll have a month where I go out all the time, and I can't control when this comes and goes. And I think what it is a lot of my friends' birthdays were the past month.
Yeah.
So there's like, oh, we got another outing. Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go. And then you just kind of get on a roll.
It kind of happens like that, I feel. Yeah. Like, yeah. There's like maybe a clump or two in the year where like, you have like two or three friends that have birthdays within the same month and you're like, whew,
yeah.
All right, we're hitting the pavement this month.
Like, we like to call it painting the town red.
Yeah. Yes. No, but I think it's good for it to be like in seasons and waves. Yeah. That's life.
Yeah, you don't want to go hard the whole year. honestly, like I'm kind of like, I'm starting to filter out. Like I go out a lot mostly just because like, you know, I like going dancing, you know, but also I've been going to like a lot of industry events and then also like NFT events. But like, to be honest, I'm starting to, I don't know, get tired of it just because I don't like people right now.
Oh, shit.
No, and not like in a bad way. I think I'll just be out and like talking to strangers and I'm just off my game. Like I used to be like a really good like talking and everything, but like I'll be out and I'm just like, I don't care for this conversation.
Yeah.
That kind of. Even in my down phases, if I do go out, I'm like, why am I so like irritated? Yeah. No one's doing anything wrong.
Like,
no one's like, I'm just like, this is so dumb. And then in my wave right now, I'm like, I need to talk to every person in this room right now. Their whole life story. I'm having a blast.
I love that.
No, but I like that. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You just got to like kind of be honest with yourself. I think when you're like, am I actually excited to go out? Like, yeah, I'm going to have a great time then, probably be in a good mood. Like, it's going to be a time. But like, there's no good in like forcing yourself if you are like in the season of more like introvertedness or homebody vibes, whatever that may be from.
And I think with work right now, my like actual weekday work situation is so, I'm so regimented. My routine is very...
You have a long drive too, right?
Yeah. I work from home sometimes, but my, I guess, routine during the week is very wholesome and straightforward.
Yeah.
So then I'm all about the balance, you know.
Yeah.
Going crazy on the weekends.
Very clipboard leasel during the week.
Yeah. So. I feel like, though, and I think we can all kind of agree to this, because we're all in the entertainment industry. It's even when you want introverted seasons, though, it's kind of hard to fully go in there. Because if you do, you're actually missing out on a part of your job, which is to like go out and network and all that stuff. And I feel like that's like the hardest part, because sometimes you are like, no, I don't want to go out. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk to these people, but you got to, you know?
Yeah. It's where like making an appearance, I feel like, is good. Like, you go, and you're like, you get the like Instagram story, and like you say hi's, and then you're like, okay, like,
facts.
I'm not going to push it. I'm not in the mood.
I actually just returned from a 2-week break on Instagram.
Nice.
Completely went off for 2 weeks.
Nice. And
honestly, it was good. I accidentally went on Thursday.
Yeah.
The Hearts show.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, this is Made in Tokyo. He's dope. I would have put it on my story.
Yeah.
And then I like logged back in, and then I was like, dang, why'd I do that?
It's a cycle. I don't know one person who can honestly say that they don't find themselves just compulsively opening the app, like mindlessly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like if you're gonna, like, you know, obviously some of us do it more than others, but and listen, I'm a victim of it. I'm fully guilty, but it's definitely like, if you can get off of it for even a week, 2 weeks, a month, a year, good. God bless you.
I've also learned you kind of find out like who's really checking for you, because like, you know, I've always told people, like whenever I speak on like panels or I talk to people that are like, oh, give me some entertainment advice, I tell them like respond to people's stories, right? Because like it's the best way to like keep yourself in their mind and like be able to like talk to them. Exactly. No, exactly. It's very helpful.
Be a reply guy. Yes.
But it also is a time where like people only really check for you when they see your story, when you're doing something. So when you're off, the people that actually hit you up means they were actually thinking about you.
Yeah. Do you ever like,
that's a ride or die.
Yeah. You ever like unfollow kind of a random person that you've been like following for years, you kind of know, and then like forget they exist on this mortal planet.
Until they post something.
It's kind of like iconic, that process. Like complete swiping of that like entity from your brain after the unfollow.
The character took the season off.
I've been like majorly looking at my life as like a TV show with seasons.
No, yo,
in like a therapeutic way. Like
actually,
I don't know. Someone write in, let me know if this is like healthy or major like dissociation vibes. But what I've been doing is truly like, especially when I'm like kind of winding down at the end of the day, I'm alone, like I'm like, okay, like this is the season of my life I'm in, and like this is the cast of characters. This person's a reoccurring, this one's a series regular. And then it's just like,
it's like eras.
Yeah,
I saw this one TikTok, and this girl has this journal practice where she, instead of like doing just normal journaling, she names each day as if it was an episode title.
Hey everyone, sorry for that quick break. Sharif, you're not going to believe what just happened. A mailman came to the door with a very beautiful envelope, and he opened the envelope and it said, congratulations, you won the sweepstakes.
The one.
All-inclusive cruise around the Mediterranean. And Sharif was like, but I can't leave the podcast. And we're dude, you have to.
I know.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You just go. Don't look back. Just go.
No looking back.
Especially because it's all-inclusive. Like,
yeah, I mean, no out-of-pocket there.
Yeah.
Like, no question. Sharif had to step out for
the sweepstakes.
Yes, the sweepstakes, ultimately. And now it's just us gals. So we're getting right back into the thick of it. Liesl.
Yes.
So why don't we share with our viewers, our audience, what exactly you do for work?
Okay. I started working for a music supervisor, which was the only way I can describe it, even though it's corny, my dream job. Mm-hmm. I've wanted to do it for years, and it's definitely something that you kind of have to pay your dues to jump into, and paid off. And I actually, the way it happened was kind of serendipitous, one might say.
Mm-hmm.
I was a fan of this music supervisor's work, and I think I emailed her like a year ago, just cold email, found her email online.
Was it off of IMDb Pro?
It It may have been. I don't remember. I found it somehow.
Okay.
And I emailed her basically just being like, hi, I'm me. Can I work for you? And she was very nice and replied that she wasn't looking to hire. So I was like, okay. And then a year goes by and I kind of worked with the music supervisor like on the side while on set, just to kind of learn the more technical ropes. And once this set job that Marielle and I were on together ended, I was like, all right, it's time to really get down to business and try to make this happen. So I found out that she was hiring through a friend, and I remembered I had her email. And I emailed her, and turned out she already hired someone. And then the next day, she emailed me. Like, crazy timing, I actually do need someone else. And it all happened over the weekend, and I met her, and it went well. And ever since then, I've been working with her.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah.
I mean, what a good example, though, of, like, kind of, you know, you paying your dues, learning some stuff, getting some experience, but also then, like, when the right opportunity aligned, you were ready. Yeah, and, like,
I couldn't believe it. Especially because I'm a fan of her, so I was like,
yeah,
freaking out, kind of.
I love that. So what are you, like, without, you know, spilling any beans, what are some of the, like, the daily tasks or like life of a music supervisor slash like someone assisting a music soup like you do?
So basically how it works is she'll get hired on to any number of projects. Like right now we are very swamped. I think we're doing like 8 or 9 different shows and movies.
Girl bossing.
Yeah, it's very crazy. It's kind of like there's definitely the preconception of the job where it's like, oh, I like my music taste and we pick songs and make movies for movies. Like, which is like true in a way, which is sick, obviously, why it appeals.
Yeah.
But it is a lot. It's very half creative, half super, super like business admin related because there's the whole, you know, process of not just picking the songs, but it's very involved in terms of the licensing, the clearances, a lot of emailing, and just, I guess, maintaining and handling relationships, because I guess I'm kind of rambling. But
No, I'm loving
this. The process, I guess, from start to finish is you get a project, we're hired on, like, pre-production, read the scripts, there's scripted music, meaning there's songs that the director or writer may have already written into the script.
Do you guys prefer that, or are you kind of like annoyed by that sometimes?
Neither.
Okay. Indifferent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Indifferent. So right away we'd go out to clear that song. Like, this easy. Will give a clue to who it is. But for Call Me by Your Name, Love My Ways. Did I say ways? Way. Was actually scripted in the movie.
Wait, who's already. That by again?
The Psychedelic Furs.
Okay.
Yes, that was scripted. And so that's something that you would clear right away.
Wait, is that the song that they're dancing to in the, like, party scene kind of towards the beginning? And they're outside at the thing? Yeah.
So that was written in already. So, like, we would go out to clear that, get the rights to use it right away. And then there's the whole meat of the job where we're picking songs for scenes. And that is really fun. That's obviously the most fun part of the job because not only is it like regionally specific, but my boss does a lot of like period pieces. So knowing the history of that time, what the characters would actually be listening to.
So do you
what year and where they are and all of that.
Does that require like a decent amount of research from you?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of an example.
I mean, I get what you're saying. Yeah, like you want to make sure that it's authentic to the world of the show or the movie.
Oh, I have a good example. She is the music supervisor for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Ah, yes.
Takes place in the late 50s, early 60s. And there's obviously so much good music from that time. But, you know, you have to make sure it actually what year it came out and it's accurate to what the characters would be listening to,
right? Not just
I like it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, not just like the idea of our 2022 idea of the 50s and 60s, but like actually making it true. Fun. Yeah.
And there's a lot of the cool thing about my boss, she actually works with the composers too. I don't think every music supervisor says that, but she's very involved, which is really cool because I get to see all of it.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So that would be working with the people who make like original like sound or scores for the project.
Yes. Yeah. There's so many parts of it. I don't want to like give a job description.
No. Now. This is good.
But it's interesting because at some points it really comes down to us just picking the songs and clearing it and their use. But there's a lot of music that is put into cuts that we think we're going to use, and then we change our mind like 3 months down the line. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of back and forth and like tracking all of the admin type stuff, ownership, like publishers, labels, and doing
but
that.
Yeah, it's cool to hear that that's like such an essential part of the job.
Yeah.
And it's not just like as simple as like, I like this song.
Yeah. And I'd say 9 times out of 10, the directors and the producers are very involved in the music too. Like, we have spotting sessions where we're all watching a cut together, and the directors and producers will definitely give their what they want, like whether it be specific as picking a song themselves or being like, we want something that feels like this, you know. And so it's a very involved process with the actual production too, which is cool.
Very. Who do you think would be some of like your dream people to work with, like music supervising,
like director wise
or? Director, actors, just production companies as a whole, like anything.
I don't know if I have like a necessarily dream collab.
Yeah.
More so like my own personal, like I guess the trajectory of the job is you'd be a coordinator, then eventually you kind of just go it on your own. It's a very short but long ladder. And
wait, do you have some, you guys have someone that works kind of under you to like assist you?
There's an assistant that, which is, we just hired her. So.
Yay.
But yeah, I guess I more so dream of what I want in any movie or show, like in terms of music, rather than the people I'm necessarily working with. Like, I'm sure anyone else, my Spotify playlists are my children.
No, and but I mean, you are like next level. Like your curation skills are
OCD about it.
No, but they're admirable. They should be acknowledged. And I think that that probably helps with you in this job too. Like you just have such a good like Rolodex of music already.
Yeah. It's interesting. It would be great if we could just pick songs we liked. Like, for like, this is cool. Like, but you know, there's a lot of actual parameters that we have to follow. And I mean, budget's a whole thing too. Like,
yeah, I'm
some
sure.
artists would just never clear their music for a movie, and some would.
Why is that?
Just kind of like, I don't know the word. I'm trying to think of an example.
So like they're very selective with who they allow.
Yeah, and just kind of like some legendary artists are just like never. They would never put their song in a movie.
Right, okay.
But then there's some artists that are also legendary that are just very, very expensive.
Yeah,
sometimes
I would imagine.
Sometimes I look at the fee for 1 minute of a song and think about how it could pay off my entire college loans, you know?
Isn't that crazy to like see the numbers or hear about the numbers of specific things that are like one tiny aspect of a TV episode or a movie or whatever, and you'd be like, wow, the amount of money that is in the production. Who are some of your favorite musical artists these days that you're listening to personally?
Ooh-wee.
And then maybe if you feel inclined, who are some of your like, or do you have like favorite or go-to artists for your work, like that you ever pull from?
Interesting. Okay. I'm pulling up my Spotify because I
pulled up.
Don't think I'll ever be able to answer who are my favorite artists. that question is so...
Who are some of?
Oh, no, no. I will answer. But I just, off top of my head, like, I blink. I'm like, what is music?
I know. I'm like, Rihanna. Like, whenever someone asks me that, I'm like, I like Drake and Rihanna. Like, who doesn't? Yeah. I don't know.
I'm really just looking at my recent saved or playlist. I've been listening to, this is actually from work, and I loved it, so I saved it. The Toronto Children's Choir, written by...
I thought you were joking when you said that earlier.
It's, like, compositions by Benjamin Britten, like... Britten, excuse me, Britten. Fake fan, obviously. But it's sung by this Toronto Children's Choir, and it's beautiful.
Okay, well, can you send it to me and we can put it in the show notes?
It'll be creepy. Like, it's like...
Is it like, would it be nice to listen to, like, at night when you're, like, winding down for bed?
Yeah, it's almost, like, Christmassy, honestly. Okay,
I can be into that.
Oh, I am actually addicted to the new Nigo album.
What is it?
Nigo. I know Nigo. It's, like... Oh. I feel like there hasn't been, like, a fun rap album in a while. Like, I've used to be very much so into rap, like, in high school, early college. And then I kind of turned into, like, a dumb, basic, like, Bob Dylan head.
I don't think that's basic, though.
So I kind of fell off or out of the loop with rap. and this Nigo album is amazing. It reminds me of, like, when... Like, ASAP Mob was, like, really cool. Because, like, ASAP Rocky was featured on it, and I, like, literally forgot about him.
Oh, but some good features on that.
Gunna? The Pharrell ones are crazy. Functional A$AP Addict Ferg. Has been on loop. So, that's really good.
All right, we'll put that in the show notes, too.
ELO Every Day, Electric Light Orchestra, one of my favorite bands of all time. Oh, you know what I can do? Mm-hmm. I have two playlists in this category. I have one called Songs That Blow My Mind Every Time. I've just songs, they're like, I would say like favorite songs in general. But
do you ever get sick of any of them?
No, that's the requirement for them to make it in. But this is a private playlist called LOATS, meaning Liesels of All Times.
What's the incentive of making it private?
It's I don't know.
Is it personal to you?
In a way, but more so, it's just, I'll always be crafting it. Okay. Like, sometimes I'll listen to it. It's a work in
progress.
And it'll be one of my favorite songs ever, but I'm like, no, this is not Desert Island. Like, I don't know why. I kind of want to, like, trim it down and have, like, a very clear-cut answer of what are your favorite songs of all time. If that makes sense.
No, it does. It does. Definitely.
I'm weird. It's like a game I play with myself.
But like, literally, I feel like you are in the perfect... Like
compulsive.
You're in the perfect, like, role in your work to, like, for your interests and your, like, specific desire to curate music like that. Like, what better skill set than yours to, like, work in music supervision, no?
Yeah, and I think... In addition to that, another big part of how my brain works with music is, like, everything needs to be appropriate for the setting.
Yeah. Like, you are so good at that, actually. Like, I feel like you always have, like, I'm like, okay, like, I'm having, like, six friends over to my apartment. Like, Liesl, what's a good playlist for that? Like,
yeah, you gotta know chill vibes,
like,
too.
Or, like, a day in the park. Like, you know exactly what to do.
I gotta know who those six people are, what their interests are, like their social security number. You have to tailor it.
Wait, I kind of have like an iconic or self-proclaimed iconic idea for like an app you should create.
Oh God!
Like you should create an app.
I have to learn how to code. I'm on it, sister.
We can hire for that. you should create an app where like you open it up and you take like some sort of quiz, or it's like, okay, I'm hanging with friends. At my place, like it's like a selector of like who you're with. Are you by yourself? Are you with friends? With you with your lover? Whatever. Where are you? Are you at home? Are you at a park or whatever? And all this stuff. And then it comes up with the perfect playlist for it.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's like, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh no, I cut you off.
I was just gonna say, obviously, there's like already the Spotify like pre-made ones that are similar to that, but this would be like so more interactive and like so specific.
Yeah. I actually have been doing this thing lately, not I guess I've used it for work searches, but also just for my own entertainment when I'm in a specific mood. Because sometimes you get sick of your own music, even yeah. if there's endless amounts of it. I'm like, I need to switch it up. So I'll literally type in just like something very specific to either relating to what I'm doing or feeling, but not just like a sunny day, like something like very specific. I can't think of an example.
Like wearing new socks while I like yes. chop a tomato or something like that.
I actually do have a playlist called Little Pebbles in my shoe. You know that feeling when you're walking and there's like a little pebble in your shoe and it's like annoying?
Yeah.
The playlist isn't annoying, but the songs made me feel like I had a little pebble in my shoe. And a new one I'm starting is called songs that are perfect to doggy paddle to in the shallow side of a pool. One being Notorious by Duran Duran. Everybody listen to that. Pause this. Listen to Notorious by Duran Duran and tell me it doesn't sound like the perfect song to doggy paddle to in the shallow end of a pool. I'm serious. Like, that's the kind of, that's fun for me, even though it's like weird. Like
no, but I like, love that. I love that. And that like is reemphasizing what I was trying to say is like, the way you view music and the curation of it, like, is so perfect, I think, for the storytelling that they want in film and TV.
If there's ever a scene in the new Maisel season where she gets a pebble in her shoe, we're good. We're set. We'll have so many options.
No, could you imagine? No, wait. Imagine the writer's room on that. Wait, guys, okay, so get this. She's going for it. She's got a big set, right? She's getting ready. She's knocking back a few at the bar before she goes up on stage. And she's walking from the bar to the stage. And suddenly, she's noticed she has a pebble in her heel. And then it screws up her whole set. Like, yes. That could be essential to the story.
I've got a song for you, baby. Yeah. But that's maybe good. I'll make my Loads playlist public. That's the other thing. Hearing myself talk about my playlists and my music, it makes me feel corny.
No, dude, don't.
But
corn is good though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just genuine like interests and happiness around subjects. Don't shade the corn.
That's true.
But I feel you. I know what you mean.
It's like I am one of those annoying people. My entire Instagram is just like shit posting and then like playlists. Like, it's all just one big bit for me.
But that's what I mean, music. Like looking at your life as a bit, like looking at it as like seasons and characters. Like, that's
yeah,
similar energy, yep. Slightly different.
Yeah, but I do post music on my stories. Sorry.
But that's what I love. Anytime you post a song, I actually click on it right away and I'll listen. I don't do that for everyone.
Probably the only one.
No, I doubt that. I do
make just monthly jumbled playlists, like anything I'm listening to per month. I throw it in. No requirements. And I post it on the first of the month.
I love that.
And that's kind of just for myself, you know? Isn't that what all posting is?
Yeah, definitely.
It should be. Patting yourself on the back.
It should be.
I like you. Good job. Yeah.
That's not a bad thing. I think it's way better.
I'm my number one fan.
I think that's how it should be.
I'm not a narcissist, I swear.
But like leaning into corniness, like you should be posting just for yourself because you get a kick out of it or you like it or whatever.
It's not like I have any crushes following me right now. So
I doubt that.
No. I mean, like, I don't have a crush on anyone, so I'm not, you know. Okay. Or do I? No, I have like 12. Wait.
Like, okay. Are you sure about that? Well, maybe
I'm getting off track. I don't even know what I'm saying.
You're fine. Let's do you want to do music trivia?
Sure.
Or do you want to talk about Europe?
Both?
Yeah, which one do you want to do first?
We can talk about, we'll just save the game for the end.
Yeah, we'll wrap up with a little games. Game.
That's another thing about me.
It is. Lisa,
love games.
Lisa hosted a really cool, fun game of trivia at my birthday this past year.
Yes, anything.
That
any sort of recreational activity, I'm there.
Yeah, I've recently learned that. So when you play a game with like a stranger, someone you don't really know, even if you play for like a minute or 2 minutes, whatever game this is, your level of empathy towards that person is like increased by like 500% or something like that. I'm really ballparking these numbers here, but you get the idea.
Empathy meaning like just in general playing a
game like, oh, we're gonna play frisbee at the park together. Oh,
like or a like collaborative game, because I was gonna say,
or like an icebreaker game at some sort of thing.
Got it. I was thinking I'm very competitive in these games I speak of, and I was like, empathy towards my competitor. I'm not sure I agree. I will destroy you. Yeah. Shirts for skins. Let's go.
You're actually 2 minutes in. My blood is boiling. I'm foaming at the mouth after 2 minutes.
Like any other person, I love a good game of bowling, but sometimes I have to tell myself to relax because everyone's chatting and they miss their turn. And it's like, let's get the show on the road, everybody.
Do you ever get so upset that you like don't want to play?
Oh no, it's all in good fun. Like this is just it's part of the bit. I don't get frustrated.
Gotcha. But
I think part of it is where that came from is growing up with my stepdad. We used to have these things called kids competitions.
You're also one of four kids.
Yeah, we're so a big, I feel like that activity family. Honestly, yeah. Actually, Olivia was telling me, she was like, your family's always, like, doing activities.
You like, are. Like, I feel like I'll hit you up on a Sunday or whatever. Like, I'm going, like, axe throwing with my family or something like that.
I played, actually, mini golf with my family just mini 2 weeks yes. ago. And this is where it comes from, for sure. It wasn't just a normal game of mini golf. Every hole, there was a prize. For who was closest to the hole in the first stroke. There was a winner of the first nine, a winner of the second nine, and an overall winner. And each prize per hole was a little shooter of alcohol and candy. So
wait, what mini golf place is this?
Girl, I don't know. We're in Orange County. It was like medieval themed.
No laws in Orange County. Okay, so pivoting again into maybe some fun tales that we have from our travels.
Yes.
Anything top of mind for you?
Yes. Off pod, we were talking about the new season of Atlanta. And
yes, season 3 just premiered on Hulu.
Hulu. And there's a scene of Sir Donald Glover in the Copenhagen airport. And I shuddered in my socks because I had... This takes the cake for the most physical misery I've ever been in my entire life because of a hangover.
Wait, which end are you talking about? Which part of the trip?
This was when we were leaving Copenhagen.
Oh my god, yeah.
To...
That was a Finland. Bleak morning, if I've ever experienced a bleak morning. Bleak doesn't even describe morning. Half of
it. Like, that is, like, downplaying. Like, for me, it was, like, atrocious.
Is it? That's, like, kind of low-key trauma.
You guys were, like... So, it was me, Marielle, our friend Olivia, and Andrew. And we went out in Copenhagen, and we were staying at a hostel. So, it was, like, a communal bathroom.
Yeah, the authentic experience.
Real, like... college dorm vibes, but it was a good time. We made friends yeah. in Lithuania and Georgia, and not the state. We went out.
This was our last night there.
And we had to catch a plane to Finland, like, pretty early in the morning.
Yeah, you heard that right. Finland.
Middle of nowhere, Finland. Where Santa lives. And I don't know what it was. Like, I think, knock on wood. I got a knock on the floor.
Yeah.
I used to get, like, crazy hangovers. Like, even if I drank, like, one drink, I would feel like shit the next day. And this was definitely at that time. But we definitely went hard.
Yeah, we didn't go easy.
Yeah.
But the night before was a lot.
So, yeah, we get back to the hostel at, like, I don't know.
4 a.m.?
Yeah. And we had to leave for the airport at, like, 7. And yeah,
that was rough.
Olivia, Andrew, and Marielle were all taking a nap like a little baby while I was in
the night. Olivia wasn't there yet.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me.
Not to out her.
But... No, she'll love that. She's a machine. She literally does not need sleep.
Like, in an admirable way. I was like, she just kept going.
Yeah, she kept going, but we were back, and I was discarding toxins from my body in this communal bathroom, and it was just so miserable. You know when you're, like, literally, like, on the ground, just, like...
agony.
Like, thinking about God and stuff. Like, it's almost like an out-of-body experience. You're, like, so miserable.
Just, yeah, when, like, you like, I'll are hurling and you're, like...
feel like this.
I can't believe I've ever, like, life exists beyond this.
I
remember
thinking, this was the first leg of our Europe trip, and I was, like, I'm just not going to drink for the rest of the Europe trip. Yeah, like, my ass. But, like, I really thought that. And then we were going to the airport, and the whole, like, Copenhagen is mostly cobblestone streets.
Yeah, oh my god, it was so rough. And me and Marielle
had, like, the worst big-ass, like, luggage.
Okay, what, you're gonna tell me you're, like, gonna only bring a duffel bag for 2 weeks in Europe? That's another
thing. Olivia's cool girl. She stays out, and she only packs a backpack carry-on for 2 weeks in winter Europe. I can't do that. I'm gonna try. Next time I go on a trip, I'm going to try. But I am an overpacker. Same. So we have these big bags. And I'm, like, just trying to stand up. And we're going to take the train to the airport.
We're also trying to navigate our way on a public transportation that is all in Danish.
I just remember, like, having to walk so far to the train station and, like, dragging my roller luggage across the cobblestone. Like, literally, like... heaving under my, like, breathing, like, for my life, trying not to.
Yeah. Also, keep in mind, the vibes were not in check this morning from anyone. I'll be honest. I was, I was in pain, but I was also, emotionally unwell.
Yes. And little Olivia's like, dee, 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 with her backpack, like, let's go. Like, come on, guys. And I'm like, stop. I need to take a break. And we're on this train. And I literally was, like, hunched over, like, just trying not to throw up, honestly. And that felt like the longest train ride of my life.
Yeah.
But we made it to the airport and was still miserable. You know, like, I actually have thrown up in more airport bathrooms than anywhere, like, else.
I bet that happens a lot, though.
I find myself, like, painfully hungover at the airport more than I need to be.
I think that's a common occurrence, for better or worse. Yeah.
But Marielle, I think, Olivia got me a little croissant, and I had a little bite of it.
Oh, yeah.
And a Powerade, a blue Powerade.
Yeah.
And we got on the plane. All to say... there was, like, a 5-second scene of the Copenhagen airport in the new season of Atlanta. And I did not like what I saw. I didn't need to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, is this the second episode, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you, the first one, though, is kind of gnarly.
The first episode was amazing.
Amazing, but gnarly. Like, well-made, but, like, hard for me to watch a little bit.
I like the stuff that makes you feel
amazing. Me too. But I didn't, like, I had watched it, and then Andrew wanted to watch it, and I was like, actually, like, you can watch that on your own time. I don't want to rewatch it again.
It's definitely painful. Like, you're cringing. But in a
if you haven't seen it, this is probably, like, annoying, but.
Yeah, obviously, we all know Atlanta soundtrack is amazing.
Yes.
Shout out Jen Malone. She also does Euphoria. She has great taste.
Is Jen Malone the name of the
music supervisor
on Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Yep, and Euphoria.
Are music supervisors, like, kind of can be wherever? Like, they don't need to necessarily be in L.A. or New York? Or what's that?
I'd say, like, the main cities people are in, like, Nashville, New York, L.A. But it is, for the most part, very remote, especially, like, with how everything's going, like... you don't really need to be somewhere specific. Like, I think a lot of people just work from home, actually. And it's a very, usually, like, a small team. Like, supervisor, coordinator. There could be, like, a couple at one company, but it's not, like, a big...
Are there any like music supervision like companies?
Yeah.
Like where it's like kind of like pumping it out like vibe.
Yeah. Or like just a collective like where it's like two music supervisors come together and make a company. Yeah. So it's like under an umbrella kind of thing. But it is a very like kind of independent job. It's like mm-hmm. a one or two man band.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. That's what I really like about working with who I work with, because we got very close very fast and we count on each other for sure. And it's that's like awesome. We kind of have like a good system down, like a flow.
And you've been with her for about how long now?
Like 4 months, I that's think, good. Almost. Which is crazy because it feels so much longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, especially since you said, like, you're kind of in a routine and there's, like, a drive, like, that that sort of, like, routine and structure can make things feel like they've been, like, a year yeah. or so. Yeah. When it's only been, like, half a year or whatever.
And it's really, like, there's just so much going on at once at this job that the days go by very fast, actually. Like, it'll be, like, 3, and I'm like, what the, like, how is
that's it good, though.
Yeah, no, definitely staying busy. It's a lot of details. It's not
I feel like creative, if the days know. Go by fast, but it simultaneously feels like it's been longer than it has, like, that's a good sign yeah, of, definitely. Like,
I'm having fun
work, sure. life. Yeah.
I have this, like, sacred book that I just, like, keep a running list of everything, because there's so many, especially when you're working on, like, 6 shows and 2 films at once, like, one little detail that you miss, like, if you forgot to clear the song, or, like, someone's asking about a fee, like, if you just, like, forget it, and then a month down the line when they're, like, picture locking, and you go back and realize, oh, shit, this song isn't clear, you're screwed, you know? So it's, yeah. like, very, like...
It's very detail-oriented.
Like, very on it at all times. And I like that. I think I would say I'm a very organized person, and I mm-hmm. kind of like that pressure. Mm-hmm. And then there's also times where we're just like watching the same scene of the show over and over again with different songs. Yeah. Just kind of like sitting on the couch, you know?
That's chill.
But then like we'll get too comfortable, like, wait, we forgot to do this.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. So it's like the whole day is different.
That's nice too, though. It's not yeah. just like, okay, I go to work and I do more or less same thing every day. Like, I feel like that really makes a difference yeah. in just work life again.
Yeah. It's also fun because each of the projects are like so different. Like mm-hmm. some of them, like I said, are like 50s, like swing, like Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Lee. And then some, we're doing this one show that takes place in like 81 in Texas.
Oh, cool.
And a lot of the music is like late 70s, which is like my favorite.
Love that.
And that's a blast for me. That's, I'd say, probably my favorite.
Send me some of the good songs from that project. Okay, Liesl. Do a little music trivia. Uh-oh. Who was the very first American Idol winner?
David Archuleta. Kelly Clarkson. Underwood. Carrie Underwood.
Wait, are you kidding me? You already said the winner.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Who?
Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, okay. I never seen American Idol in my life.
Honestly, that's good. No. David Archuleta. Fun fact.
David Archuleta.
No. Well, okay. Sweet baby David Archuleta never won. I don't think so. But fun fact, I was in, what's it called? Macy's
you
Thinks.
You guys dated?
No. That's crazy. I wish. I don't know if he goes for the femmes. but actually, I don't know. Redact that. But
I guess I'm learning a lot about David Archuleta that I didn't know before.
I saw him in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in person when I was in middle school.
Lucky
and that
dog.
it was a hot moment for sure.
Wow.
Okay.
I would pay any amount of money to see David Archuleta in the Macy's Day Parade.
Right. Which Super Bowl halftime show performer was upstaged by a dancing shark?
Katy Perry.
One more time.
Katy Perry.
Actually, no. Katy Perry's awesome. Teenage Dream.
Yeah.
Is actually on my Songs That Blow My Mind Every Time playlist.
I have a merch shirt from her Teenage Dream tour in like 2012. I still have.
The line about the skin tight jeans is fire.
Yeah. Okay. Missy Elliott references what infamous celebrity couple in Let Me Fix My Weave? This is a hard one, I know.
I'm going to take a wild guess.
Yeah. You might get it right. It's a pretty... I'll give you this. It's like an iconic couple that was on and then off for a very long time and have recently become back on and they've been having a little media stint like a couple months ago.
Why am I blanking? Do I have a timer?
No.
What's John Adams' wife's name? The second president? I don't know. Who?
Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know.
It's okay. Again, probably for the best. Who was the first woman ever inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Olivia Rodrigo.
Yes. No, Aretha Franklin.
I have a question for you, Marielle.
Yeah.
Do you think Olivia Rodrigo is going to win a Grammy tonight?
I do.
I think she's going to win for best record.
Yeah.
For Driver's License. I don't think she'll win Album of the Year. And I don't think she'll win Song of the
Year. Who else is nominated?
For a record?
Yeah.
I know Happier Than Ever. Here, let me
She'll probably win, right?
I hope.
Billie Eilish?
Yeah.
Billy.
Record of the Year. Happier Than Ever, Right on Time, Brandy Carlile. Driver's License.
Who is Brandy Carlile?
She's like a, just a palatable.
That's a good adjective, palatable.
Folky rock. I don't know.
Okay.
I saw her Bonnaroo on accident. You ever see an artist on accident?
Yeah, that was like Bon Iver for me.
That's not a bad one.
No, not a bad one at all. But at Coachella, I mean, it wasn't an accident because I was at Coachella and he was performing there. But like, we like were camping out at that stage for like someone later. I don't remember who. And like, so we were like actually at the front of him.
Fire.
Yeah.
I love Bon Iver. I feel like I've accidentally seen like, and this is a good artist, but like Thundercat, like way too many times. No offense. He's great, but I'm like, why am I at a Thundercat what show
was,
again?
Was like a like, lot of opening or what?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kind of random.
Okay, so what else instead of, we'll pivot from trivia into what are your predictions for the Grammys?
Okay. I'll go through the big categories.
Album, when this comes out, the results will be out already. So. Yes.
Album of the Year, there's a lot nominated. Happier Than Ever, obviously, is kind of like the obvious choice. But I feel like my gut always is like, it's never what you think.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Sour will win. That would be interesting. I feel like there was a little drama, obviously, with like the copyright with like all of her inspirations and stuff. So I don't know if they would pick that.
You think there's a world? There's
like three songs that she had to give up rights to because it was infringement.
I didn't know it got that deep.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a world where Justice wins?
Dog, I don't think I've listened to that album ever.
Really?
Except for Peaches. Can you believe that was
a year ago?
That's crazy.
It came out a little, it came out like in beginning of March, I think. So like a year and a month ago.
I remember when Peaches came out so clearly. And that feels like 4 years ago.
I got my peaches out in Georgia.
Like me and the gals and Ron were like going to Palm Springs, like singing it. Like that feels like.
I get my weed from California.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good shit. Well, only time will tell. We'll see.
Record of the Year. Hopefully, honestly, I bet you it's going to be Happier Than Ever. I could see Driver's License winning this.
Yeah.
Just
what about Kiss Me More?
No. Mm-hmm. It's a fun one, but not going to win. I really would love Baby Keem to win Best New Artist, but that's not going to happen. It's going to be Olivia Rodrigo.
I didn't realize Arlo Parks was nominated for Best New Artist. That's awesome.
Song of the Year. This is where I think Happier Than Ever could win. I think Driver's License will win record and Happier Than Ever will win song.
That's good.
I
both the girlies win.
I like just could never get into is her. Like, I've tried.
I saw some TikTok a while back that was like, her is an industry plant. Like, what totally what does that mean exactly, though?
It means they just, like, pick someone and, like, stuff their career. They have, like, a huge budget and they just... It's kind of like a test subject.
Yeah.
Like, what works marketing-wise. Interesting. Like, sound-wise. It's just kind of like their little puppet.
Very interesting.
And they pump a lot of money into it.
Yeah, but they were saying...
That's a conspiracy
theory. Yeah, just, I'm not claiming this. These are my beliefs. But they were saying that her is an industry plant and that, like...
People love she to has, say that.
Well, and that she has, like, parents in the industry or something.
That's just nepotism.
Yeah. But who knows?
Who knows? That's another show I was like, why am I here?
I like what went, show?
Oh, that sounded her? Mean. I actually had a good time. I just went with my friend that worked at her label. And I was like, maybe I'll like start to like her music. Because sometimes I'll like go to a show of an artist that I like feel whatever about. And then end up loving them. Or go to
that
an artist.
That does happen.
Like, this is kind of a funny example. But like, I went to like the Donda show with like Drake at the Coliseum. Mm-hmm. And I liked Donda when it came out, but I didn't have strong feelings about it.
Yeah.
And so did Olivia. We went with our friends and we all ended up, we call it being Donda pilled. Like, we love Donda now just because like seeing it live was like, oh my God, this is actually incredible.
Yeah, I would imagine. I remember when that album came out in like, beginning of August, 2021. We were filming like somewhere out far in like Simi Valley that week or like maybe it was Disney Ranch.
That was when we were hiding in the trailer and you brought me pizza and we wore the cowboy boots and our feet were like bleeding.
Wait, but which set was that?
That was like the one with the little church in the desert.
Oh my God, the one that had no service? It was so hot. All right. Well, that's all for this week, I think. But obviously, we'll have Miss Liesl back on at some point very soon. But thank you so much for coming on and opening our eyes to the world of music supervision and all that good stuff.
Thank you for having me. Everybody send me playlists.
Yes.
Thank you.
And we'll make sure to link some of Liesl's playlists and songs that she spoke about in the show notes.
All right. Thank you, Marielle.
Thank you for tuning in this time. And if you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share with a friend. It helps us grow and continue. And you can find the show on Instagram at don'tchangethechannel.podcast. And you can find me on Instagram, Marielle Winand. On same thing on Twitter and TikTok. And you can find Miss Liesl.
Oh, you guys want to follow me on this? Do you, though?
My or Twitter or anything?
No, don't follow my Twitter. my Instagram is at LieselTakiuchi. Yeah, that's it.
And you can find Sharif on Instagram, too. I know he had to unfortunately miss the second half of this episode, but he is better than ever, and we'll be back next episode. Thank you again for tuning in. See you next time.